Jesus has been stirring up their orderly world. He's been a step ahead of the religious authorities, commanding demons to leave agonized people, gathering crowds as he heals the sick, helping paralyzed people to get moving, and holding children in his arms. The Pharisees are people who have high respect for law and order. They want to know the right paths to walk, and they want to be the people who design and make the paths. Jesus is stirring them up. They want to contain him. They want to bring him down, and so they come to test him about matters of the law. Knowing that in the matter of divorce, there is no way to win. Someone I read this week said that once you say divorce, you lose the attention of your listeners because the word takes each and all of us back to an experience of breakage, of hurt, of shame, if not in our own lives, in the lives of people we know and are close to. Our minds go there, and it's hard to get people back. There used to be a custom when people died that people who would grieve, and in the nation of Israel, they would do this. People who were grieving would tear and rend cloth. They would take fabric and they would rip it and rip it. The sound of that ripping and the expression of that helped to express the grief of being broken. And this tearing apart, this rending is what happens in times of divorce. It's a way of describing the breaking between people because it is never clean with sharp lines. No, separations are like tears. They are ragged and complicated and hard, and seemingly impossible to sew back together, or if they are sewn, they won't be the same way again. So the Pharisees want to see if Jesus can make a law that will give order and clean lines to this ragged thing called divorce. Give us a rule book that we can follow. And then we can keep focusing and arguing about the rules, who is right and who is wrong, so we can have a winner and a loser. And Jesus completely avoids this trap. He redirects their attention from judgment to promise. And how does he do this? By taking them back to their story of origin, taking them to creation, and starting over. How did things begin? How could we begin again? How did God create things to be? He takes them to the story of Genesis, the beginning when Adam, who is made of the earth, so the story goes, is not meant to be alone. And so God creates all the animals in the earth, all the birds of the sky, all of the plants, to try to come and be company for Adam. And Adam names them. but they are not enough. And so God takes a rib and out of the side of Adam makes the mother of all living, Eve, a partner that satisfies, companionship that is complete, so that this one is not alone but is two in one. A suitable partner. And the text said, one who is a helper. But that word helper is not used in Scripture like we use it today as a kind of an assistant. The word helper in Scripture is the same word used for God, such as God is my help and strength. So when Eve and Adam are together as helpers and partners, they share as close a connection with each other as God can get. And God, and the word helper is they share roles that are as close as God can get. Now, when I listened to this story of creation, I found it refreshing and renewing. Especially in these weeks, the last 2 weeks especially, when it seems that we have been torn asunder as a people. Men and women divided. Women have been reminded of the hurt and the fear that has been part of many of our lives. The disgrace of being used or subject to violence or verbal or physical abuse. And leadership in our country has also been torn and divided. People are raw and righteous, wounded and hurting back, demonizing the other side. People want to settle the score more than finding the truth, and it's hard to find or know how to be grounded. Hard to find justice or compassion in this world today. So what in the world did I find heartening and renewing about this story of creation? It was the reminder that Jesus gives us that we are grounded and made in the promise of God. A God who rests with us in steadfast mercy, who makes things to be good, who makes us to be companions, not alone, in relationship, who wants us to find common ground. I find it life-giving that God promises human beings connection, and that we are created to be connected, to find companions, to live in relationship. Think of it. God made diversity from the very beginning. In the words of the creation story, male and female are quite suited to each other and yet quite different. Indeed, and yet in that difference, in that diversity, there is partnership. The intention of God is that we have good company, that relationships between men and women would be good, that sexuality is good. What is the good news? It's not read in the text today, But the phrase ends, they were naked and not ashamed. This is the promise of God. What a promise. That this is the way God would hope we could be together. Made to be in mutual relationship. The promise is that all these torn pieces are part of a whole that is mutuality, reciprocity, and that the love of God is woven into the fabric that completes all things. But you say, Pastor, that's not happening. You must be very naive. And so I choose today the word promise very intentionally. I want to use it as a living word, promise. It's important to me because we get so caught up in ideals and perfection that we often make the creation story to be God made us perfect, we broke this perfection, and now we have to spend our lives getting back to this in order for us to be with God. But this is not the story. The story is about the promise of being who we are, torn and broken, flawed and hurt, trusting that in our flesh, the love of God runs through our veins. This intention of God is not about some place of perfection, some ideal of man and woman that we're ever striving to reach and we never quite make it. No, this creation of God is happening now in the torn relationships of our lives. God promises us connection. God promises us help and helpers. God promises us partnership. God promises us delight and joy. Now, this is what we are made to be. There are so many things that can tear us down, tear us apart in this world. And it's all too tempting to live in fear, somewhat of an all-knowing fear. We just know that nothing good can happen out of this world, we think, and so we despair. We give up. We step out. Or we remain silent, never voicing our truth because we don't trust it will be heard. It's also tempting to turn to judgment, to picking sides, to finding a way to win, thinking that this will mend the whole if one side gets their way and dominates the other. Then we think we'll have peace, but it's a torn and broken peace. This is why Jesus calls us back to the promise that is at the heart of life, that we are created in a love of God, in the grace God holds us. This is the heartbeat, the lifeblood of who we are and what makes us whole. If God is for us, Who can be against us? Healing, mending, come when we know our Creator and trust that who we are is part of this marvelous creation. And this goes to promise, for God has a promise for us, for each of us, for all of us together. The promise is that God desires to be our helper and partner to renew us and continue to mend all that is torn in goodness. The promise is that men and women can walk together in partnership. The promise is that we can help those who are suffering together. We can share our talents for the sake of this world, for the vulnerable and the lost. And the promise is that we will find delight in the company of each other. Promise is a word of possibility. A promise is never large enough, is large enough to embrace every circumstance. When God promises to make a covenant with Israel, this means that God says, "Trust me, I will stick with you in and through all things." And time again, Israel breaks that covenant. And time again, God comes back and says, "Trust me, I will be with you in and through all things." And then God renews this covenant again in Jesus, who sends his Son in the promise of forgiveness. This Son Jesus reminds those who try and test him that God's love is not completed with new laws, but rather with broken and torn hearts who reach for healing and forgiveness. Here is the new creation when trust is restored. Promise is a word that we ever live into. It's not over. We can return to it. We can renew it. God's promise comes to us today in the presence and company of Jesus, who promises to be with us in the breaking of bread. And today, torn and broken as we are, today is a day of promise. Let us trust once more. Amen. There are sheets of paper in your bulletin. If you wish to respond to that question, please do, and put your responses in the basket by the font.